Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, team. Today we're, the youth. Go on out. Go up there with John and the Edge. Let them vacate. I find it very interesting that God put this sermon on this date, because I think the teens need to be out of here for what I need to share with the church today, because it's mainly about them. Discipleship study. We're still sticking with what it means to be a disciple. But entitled this, the 360-degree war of evil. Now, before I get started, I'm going to read a verse that's not in the lineup, so don't worry about it. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Paul writes the two epistles to Timothy, a young pastor, and Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy and book of Titus are what we call the pastoral epistles, teaching pastors how to be pastors, how to lead the church, how to teach the church. And he has a very particular verse that I love, 2 Timothy chapter 4. I charge you, it's a military term here. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. When they want to hear the word and when they don't want to hear the word. But here's where it comes down to. Now, you know a pastor is doing well if every sermon he does makes you feel just warm and fuzzy inside, right? Every sermon is about you, right? Every sermon is a 10-step way of making a better you. No. You know a pastor is doing his job when 2/3 of the time his sermons convict you. Preach the word, be ready in season, out of season. Convince them of the truth. Rebuke them where they stray from the truth. And exhort and encourage them with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. I'll get back to that verse a little bit later. So, this is one of those times when I'm going to have to deliver a sermon that could possibly offend. Not if we remain humble before God. Transparent to ourselves. Because a lot of times in church we can get to the point where we're making church about us. We're here to be servants, slaves. It's never about us. I've seen where churches get to where people are complaining constantly because people aren't paying enough attention to them. It's not about you. Come here and serve. You want to be the greatest? Then you be the least. This is real what we're doing here. This is bigger than all of us what we do here as the church. And it's so important because we can lose so easily and make church more about us. And you're going to give an account to God. And the last thing you want to do is stand before Jesus Christ, who gave his life for this church, and you try to make it about you. You don't want to stand before Christ that way. I don't want you to stand before Christ that way. So we find ourselves as a church in difficult days. I'm going to be explaining that, especially the third sermon of this series. I'm excited the times we find ourselves, and I'm even excited with the troubles we find ourselves in as a church. Because I know my God is great, my God can do all sorts of great things. But when it comes to the church, God can open the door for the faithful church, and he has promised to do so. But the faithful church must go through the door. That requires sacrifice and commitment on our part. I think we have it in us. But I have to be honest, we came out of COVID very strong, very motivated. I think some end times overload from some pastors, not me, because I was always clear, we could be, but some end time fatigue may have set in. And I have seen some apathy and some distractions creep into this body. And we need to look at those today in the next couple of weeks. And a couple aspects, our church is staggering right now when we are called to put on the full armor of God and stand. We are staggering. We need to be standing tall and strong in the Lord. There is sinfulness all around us. We're going to be talking about that today. The enemy is everywhere. Next week I'm going to talk about the prophetic timeline. So much is happening. And then the third Sunday, the condition of our church overall and our church meeting. Again, difficult time for our church, but God can turn things around. So I'm not fearful, I'm not worried. I like a challenge. We're supposed to be soldiers. Soldiers like a challenge. Because when we have challenging times, that's when God shows up. And we get to see God do some amazing things. So I believe the days ahead are going to be difficult. Not just for the church, for our country. I believe the end of this year might be very difficult for this country. And people are going to be looking for hope. I see a lot of signs of bad things coming, just to be honest with you. But that's what the Bible warned us about. Things were going to get bad towards the end. And we need to be there. We need to be standing tall, just be salt and light, provide hope for those who are overwhelmed. But today I want to see the full scale of evil that is happening all around us. This evil that is after our kids and our grandkids. As a church, we must understand the enemy is not just at our doors trying to get in. He is already in. His influence is around our kids completely. There is a worldwide war raging. And we're not sheltered from it. Our kids are not sheltered from it. Trust me, I know. As a pastor, father of five, and as a youth pastor and a pastor who's worked with teens for over 20 years, you cannot shelter your kids. Not from the enemy. He is in our families. He is in our church. He is real. Every subject I'm going to bring up with you today, and I'll probably go over a few minutes. If you need to leave at 12, feel free to get up. Every subject I'm going to bring up today came from your children or your grandchildren. Me and Wendy got down a couple weeks ago. We were having coffee together, and we started talking about something that happened, and then one thing led, and I started a list of things that evil subjects, that have been brought to our attention by your kids and children church or your teens and youth group. This is something that they're being exposed to, or they had questions about, or something they're doing. And that's why I'm glad they're out here today. I don't want to shame any of them. I don't want to think that, you know, we're spying on them. But when you've run youth ministry for over 20 years, you pick up on things. But we have to realize our enemy is not flesh and blood out there, even though it may really appear about it sometimes. It is spiritual. Paul is very clear. Ephesians chapter 6. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Our kids and our grandkids are primary targets. And he is smart. Don't ever underestimate the enemy. He is wise in the ways of this world. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he wants to do with your life, your personal testimony of Jesus Christ. He wants you to be so selfish and make everything about you so he can destroy your life. And he wants to destroy the lives of your families. He wants to destroy your marriages. He wants to destroy your children and your grandchildren. Somehow we think that maybe we're just going to walk through life and not take any casualties. He is out to destroy. You will see that today. He wants to use their innocence, maybe their curiosity, but he's going to work his way into their lives, and he is tempting them and ensnaring them and slowly pulling them towards him. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, like a roaring lion, he never actually shows up looking that scary, or we'd have our defense up. Oh, no, he's much more subtle than that. Slowly, innocently, he works his snares and his traps. I want to show you how slow it can be. Next slide, Levi. I don't know if you guys remember, back in the 1970s, there was a show called MASH, right? There's Hawkeye talking to a young soldier called George. That was the title of this episode. It's probably the earliest thing I can remember as a kid where George here is a gay soldier, homosexual. So it's brought up for the first time that I know of on TV, this subject. And it's just like, you know, they're basically born that way, and we just need to learn to accept them. You know, nothing special, just acknowledge that they're there and accept them and just move on. So it was kind of a vague reference in the show, just a small part of it, but there it was on primetime American television. That was in the 70s. By the 80s, there was a movie called Mannequin. I remember this movie because I took a young lady, and not Wendy, the girl before I met Wendy. I took her to see, that was our first date. I took her to see this movie. Next slide. Or next, click one time. There you go. In that movie, the character there in the middle is a gay man, homosexual. He's funny. He's kind of cool. So it went from just a vague reference in the 70s to now in the 80s, they're cool and hip and funny. One of the great lies here, you know, they're just born that way. That keeps being kind of mentioned. So that's in the 80s. By the 90s, you had Don't Ask, Don't Tell, where the military, homosexuals were not allowed. It wasn't permitted. It was against the law. And there was good reasons for it. I'm not going to go into all that, but I'm just saying, in the 90s, President Bill Clinton took that back to, well, don't ask, don't tell. We'll let them in, but we just won't ask about it. They can serve, but they have to kind of be hidden. And I was in the Marine Corps. I was in North Carolina when he brought this out. And DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act. So now they backed off a little bit and homosexuals could come in the military. Then by the 2000s, President Obama repealed don't ask, don't tell. Now homosexuals and everything could serve openly. Also in the 1990s, or in the 2000s, they stopped defending the Defense of Marriage Act. They weren't going to defend it anymore. Marriage between a man and a woman. They're going to redefine it. And that's exactly what they did. In 2015, the Supreme Court changed the definition of marriage. And we saw for the first time in our U.S. history, the White House in pride colors. So do you see from the little start of just mentioning the subject back in the 70s to full-on acceptance of the change of marriage that God created. God created marriage. We redefined it from God. We said, God, get out of here. We're redefining it. And then we put it in pride colors. And there's where it really started to take foot and start rolling. Now, today, we have the LGBTQ plus and all the other stuff. We have so many genders that you can lose track of, and they are crazy. You get out there and you start listening to these people, and the genders, they're up to 300-400. It's crazy. So we've gone from a vague reference in the 1970s to now having drag queens teach our children. Slow but steady. Some call it the slippery slope. Once you start down, you can't go back. Now we have Drag Queen Story Hour. Don't tell me they're not after the kids. And I showed you a video from the San Francisco Men's Gay Choir couple years ago where they sang a song, "We're coming after your children." I still have it if you want to see it. But now they are grooming our children. Yes, they are grooming our children with the whole gender confusion. Next slide, Levi. Gender confusion. And it's obvious they're grooming children. What are they grooming children for? They're grooming children for underage sex. Next slide. Rubio Republicans question Biden administration on UN support for efforts to promote underage sex. UN did a study on this. They came out to the conclusions to hypersexualization of our children, asserting underage minors can consent to sex with adults. Now, there's a lot of pushback on the internet if you go out and say this. Oh, the UN was never saying that. Yes, you read the UN report, it's there. And there have been lobbying groups for the last 10 years pushing for minor and adult sex. There are lobby groups. There used to be a term we used for that. It was called pedophile. Nasty name. You don't want to be called that, right? It was a down. But you know what? You can't say that word anymore. I might get banned off YouTube for just saying that. Now you're supposed to describe them as minor attracted persons. Some say it's a new gender. They're born that way. Boy, that sounds familiar. Next slide, Levi. New UN-backed legal recommendations normalize sex with minors, outraged critics say. And again, they're saying it doesn't, but it does. There are lobby groups about it. There are people promoting, saying stop using pedophile. They're minor attracted people. Is their gender? They're born this way. Once you start softening pedophilia, you're making it normal and acceptable because that's what they want to go. And there is a Bible verse talking about trading of children in the end. You see, once you start down this slippery slope, you can't go back. See, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil is a lion seeking whom he may devour. And we as the church are to stand against him. So Satan is on the move and he's after your children. He's after your businesses, churches, families, marriages. Let me show you the influences that have been brought to mine and Wendy's attention from the children in Children's Church and the youth group. We'll start with our next slide, Levi. All right, so here's our little church. Don't get ahead of me, Levi. Just wait till I tell you to click because we got a lot clicking here. All right. Satan is trying to capture our kids and grandkids right beneath our noses. Click the first one, Levi. Okay, sexual perversion. We've already been talking about the LGBTQ, but that's not just that perversion. There's the perversion of sex before marriage. Good old fornication, right? That seems like acceptable nowadays. That seems like nothing compared to what we're dealing with. But it's still sexual perversion, sin. Sex outside of marriage, sex before marriage. The pressure on our children to start becoming sexualized and sexually active when they're very young. Today, what we would call sex 10, 20 years ago, now are not. They're activities you can do. And as long as you don't go all the way, there's these activities you can do that we would classify as sex, but nowadays they're not. Softening everything. You guys added up or gone through and counted how many teachers, male and female, have been charged with sleeping with their students? And not just in high schools, in middle school. We know sex sells, right? Everything is sexualized, everything they're trying to sell. So the sexual perversion is all around our children. They can't get away from it. Click one more. Satanic music, all genres, okay? Not just your heavy metal, you know, crazy bunch. All genres, your rock, your country, your rap. foul language in it. Sex. Talks about sex. Suicide in some of the music. Murder. Sin. Drugs. A teen showed up at youth group a couple weeks ago with a t-shirt. And there was a band on it. A band I'd never heard from. So I looked it up. I asked the teen about the band. And he goes, oh, this is a band that me and my father listen to. Because some of our kids that come on Wednesday are unchurched. Their families don't go to church. So this is a song that me and my father listen to. Huh. So I looked up the lyrics. Looked up the song. I'm going to read you some of the lyrics. Just from the first couple stanzas, first verses, whatever. It says in there, I want to be a sinner. That's one of the lyrics. I want to be a sinner. A hideous man that you don't understand. I want to throw a suicide party. About 20 bleeps that I can't even say. Goes on about partying and he wants to be a pornaholic. Pornaholic. The chorus of the repeating chorus has this in it. I'm 666. So there's a teen wearing this band on the t-shirt, and this is the music he listens with his father. Gets worse. Click. Music videos, sex acts with Satan. Young one teen mentioned someone that she really likes. We know that this person has music videos out there where they have sexual acts being done to a Satan-like figure in the video. And this is someone that they really like. Satanic apps. Kid you not, this comes from children's church. A kid explaining he likes to play this satanic app, and you can go on App Store and look it up. Likes to play this satanic app, games that have Satan stuff in them. And he knows how to get on this app. Download the app, play it, and get rid of the app. That's in children's church. Video games of all kind nowadays, long ways from Pac-Man. Foul language. Mature ratings. Occult practices in these games. Demonic creatures. Death, murder, violence, rape, sex, stealing, lawlessness. This is all stuff you can do in video games nowadays. And many of these kids play video games that, I'm like, you play those? Wow. You're in middle school and you're playing a game rated M for mature. R-rated movies, mature content. I'm surprised some of the movies I hear the kids tell us that they've seen. Parents, grandparents. Why are you letting your children watch these things? You're letting the enemy into your living room. You're giving them free access to your children's minds. Everything they see, they remember. And I have children in children's church and in youth group talking about the slasher movies, the paranormal. You know the paranormal movies, the ghosts and all that sort of stuff? There's no such thing. These are deceiving spirits. They're demons. This is all demonic and you're letting it into your house. The language that is in most movies and the sex that is in most movies, your kids are seeing this. We're letting our guards down. We're getting complacent. We're getting comfortable apathy with the world. New age occult practices, click. How many of your children, through sometimes innocent programs or movies or whatever, school even, They're yoga, and people are, oh, stop picking on yoga. No, I've done the research. I know what I'm talking about. Yoga is a Hindu practice. It comes from Hindu worship. Yoga is not something you do for health benefits, even though you might get that. It's rooted. It is a worship of the deities in Hinduism. They're false deities, so they are demonic in nature. The poses you get into, you're opening yourself up. You're presenting yourself to certain demons with the different poses. Hindus in India are mad with everyone stealing their yoga as if it's for health. Yoga is a Hindu worship pagan ritual that has some health benefits to it. And you can't separate it. You can't put Christian music. I know that Christian yoga. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard. You can't take something, paganize it, and Christianize it. You might as well just go Catholic Church then. Because that's what the Catholic Church did. I'm going to calm down a little bit. Our kids coming in with wearing crystals and telling us what the crystal, the powers the crystal brings. That's New Age. That's a cult. But this is what they're being taught. This is what they're being open to. This is what they're given. Astrology. How many of them know their signs? And, oh, and they look at all this. No, that's evil. You don't look to the stars for your guidance. You look to the one who created the stars. Wicca, witchcraft, how many of them are open to that? Pink Ouija boards nowadays. Spiritualism, Native American and natural worship. It's pagan. Romans chapter 1, the worship of Mother Earth. Click. They're associated with that in the public school system. What do you think Earth Day is? It's a day to tell the kids you need to worship the earth. The Bible warns us in Romans chapter 1 that in the end, people are going to be more concerned about worshiping the creation than the creator. You guys all know who Greta Thunberg is, right? Go. That sweet little thing that got up and lectured the United Nations. Remember her? She's all about environmentalism, right? Well, click the next verse.
Greta Thunberg has disgraced herself and the entire climate change cult. She has gone, got the kefir out there. She's
again
pro-Palestine. She's anti-Israel. She's clearly hates Jews. She's out there at the Eurovision Song Contest. Have a quick look. But this is who you are supporting. Don't forget, all the school kids were told she's our hero, the great climate change visionary leader who's going to show the world how to go forward. This is who this person is. Have a close look, because if you're still enthralled to the climate change cult, this is who you're dealing with.
Here to show that we think it is outrageous and inexcusable for Eurovision.
Run out of time. Click. So what we see with the environmental movement, they start there, but it's also connected. She was protesting Israel, the Palestinian pro-Palestinian Hamas movement, which I'm going to show you something. Maybe none of you guys have heard this. Click one. It's called the Red-Green Axis. How many of you guys have heard this? Yeah, not many people, but it's very active. See, all these movements, these protest movements, even though they may be on different subjects, they're all connected because the spirit behind them is all the same spirit. It's Satan. But we have what we call the Red-Green Axis. It's socialism, Marxism, communism, basically. And they all get together. They've gotten together with Islam. They're working hand in hand. Teaching students and college students, having them pray Islamic prayers, teaching them a hatred of Israel, anti-Semitism, hatred for America. They're anti-family. Remember the BLM? Very Marxist. BLM hated the traditional family. Socialism, anti-free speech, anti-country, no borders, new world order, globalism, hate America. Why? Because America is built on biblical values. That's why they hate her so much. But let me show you next slide. Levi, here we got college universities, we all seen it in the last couple of weeks, supporting a terrorist organization, Hamas. But look at the picture next to it. This is, they were having Islamic prayers. Students, American students, were bowing and praying Islamic prayers and becoming Muslims, because all you have to do is make this statement about Allah as being the only God and Muhammad being his prophet, and you're a Muslim by just speaking it. And that's what they were doing. But in this movement, you see the communism. Next slide. Communism symbols there. Next one. Communism and Islam, the red-green axis, working together to corrupt our children. And why not? Let's just throw the Nazis in there too. All these movements to corrupt and pervert our younger generations. What is the church doing about it? Globalize the Intifada. I'll speak more about this next week. But this is what that means, is that everyone in the world should come against Israel globally. I think the Bible speaks about that. By any means necessary. This is disgusting. They're going to get rid of the Jews by any means necessary. Murder, rape, beheading. It's disgusting. And we got Americans, American teenagers, college students supporting that. They hate America. That's what they're taught. They hate America. And if you try to stand up for America today as a student, next slide, you get harassed. Next slide, Levi. Click. False Christianity is everywhere in America. Catholicism, major. False Christianity has been from the very beginning. The Roman Catholic Church was never Christian. If you don't understand that, ask me and come to the gathering on a Sunday night and I'll explain it to you. Or come to my office and I'll be glad to explain it to you. So here we got, next slide, Levi. We have this speaker, this speech given by this Kansas City NFL football player. And here's what it is. Kicker is given a hard time over pro-Christian speech. That was not a Christian speech. But here they're blurring the lines. They're trying to discredit this or blur this so people really don't know the truth. Because if you believe in what he said, and you go ahead and I'm going to believe everything that guy said about Christ and faith, you'll end up in hell. Wasn't a Christian speech. It was farthest thing from a Christian speech. But they're trying to blur the truth. So you have the false Christianity of Catholicism. Then you have something that we have here, just over across town. Glory clouds, Bethel Church, and gold dust, feathers and feelings. Listen to this video.
We've been involved in this, this outpouring really for 15 years. And actually 16 years now. And we, in this journey, we've had the Lord show up and do a number of amazing things. One of the prominent things that we've seen in these years is the healing of people's bodies, the deliverances from torment, restoration of families, all
Not
those kinds of things.
Not one recorded
have been
healing
so extraordinary,
by a doctor,
so amazing.
Ever. But
occasionally
they
we have unusual things happen that we I don't take a service for. I just don't. I'll make reference and then I leave it alone. And that's typically my response to the signs that make you wonder. And it would be about 15 or maybe 14 years ago, somewhere in that area, 14 years ago probably, the feathers started just appearing and falling in meetings. And then they started falling in our homes and in restaurants and things like that, just unusual things, you know.
All right, go ahead, click. I don't have time for the whole thing. Feathers and gold dust. It's a joke. But you'll see his pews are full. His chairs are full. People flock to this guy. Talking about feathers, and I've seen the pathetic feathers they post. Some have posted these little cheap little feathers that just seem to fall. Either a bird flew into one of the ceiling fans, or someone ripped open a pillow. They're pathetic little feathers. Not even majestic feathers. They're supposed to be angel feathers. They're not even... I'm just shocked that people are sitting there and you watch the video and they're clapping and the place is full. Gold dust. Supposedly there's a person who's come out who's left Bethel who's now, I haven't been able to verify this, but they're saying that They helped put the gold dust in the ventilation system. I'm trying to track that down. But it's all about feelings and creating this atmosphere where people want to be entertained. Go to the next slide, Levi. There you go. Go back. You're right. You're right. Right there. Thank you. Feelings, experiences wow me, entertain me. I want to experience something supernatural. I want to experience God. The Bible tells us, never tells us to experience God. It says to know God. There's a difference. It's not faith. Faith is not about our feelings. Feelings come and go. Feelings can be completely wrong. It's not about experiences, because you can experience something supernatural and it not be from God. Signs that make you wonder. That's not what the Bible says. It says signs and wonders. But he changes the phrasing. Faith is in trusting in the goodness of God and his word alone. It's about being a disciple, a servant, a laborer, a slave. But that's not what people want anymore. Make it about me. Me. I want people to focus on me at church, not on Jesus. They say God doesn't fit into a box. Basically what they're saying is, God doesn't fit into this, though this is how God has revealed himself to us. They say, no, God's bigger than that. Well, I agree he's bigger than a book, but this is how he relates to us. This is what we know about God. You can't go outside this. Only this has revealed what we need to know about God. But they say, no, God's bigger than a box. And so we can teach things because we're apostles too, blah, blah, blah. And we can teach things that are not in the book. They are bigger than a box. So they teach all this crazy stuff like gold dust and feathers. Well, that's never found in here. But they want to teach things that are not in here, and then they want to take things that are in here and out of context and change them. Let me show you where he gets the feathers. Psalms 91. God says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler." It's imagery of a mother bird or a hen protecting her little ones. That's all it is. It's imagery. But they're saying, oh, you're going to cover you in feathers. So that's why these feathers. He goes on to explain this verse in the video. He's taking it literal when it's obviously imagery. Boy, I hope shields and bucklers don't start raining down. 2 Timothy chapter 4, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itchy ears, tickle me, tell me it's about me. They will heap up for themselves teachers that will do that. And they will turn their ears from the truth, and they will turn aside to fables." And he's got a whole church of people seeking that stuff. It's fables. It's an experience. Matthew 24:24, "For false Christs and false prophets will rise, show great signs and wonders to deceive." John 4:48, Jesus said, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe." They have no faith without the signs and the wonders. Jesus is not enough for them. Just his death and being Lord. It's not enough. The Word of God is not enough. The Holy Spirit, as revealed in Scripture, is not enough for them. It's too bad. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. "The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not want to receive the love of the truth." Next slide, Levi. I'm going to kick into high gear. We're going to go over a little bit. I'll get you out of here real quick as possible, as fast as I can. Here we go. American Christianity. Can't go wrong with good old American Christianity, right? Next slide. Let me tell you, Jesus is not an American. Jesus is not wrapped up in the American flag. I hate American Christianity. Because American Christianity says it's all about America. Jesus is here for America. And we're good because we're Americans and we believe in God and country. And we're putting Trump and Jesus on the same level. You know, I'll probably end up voting for Trump. I like Trump and his conservative views. Do I think he's a good man? Like, morally? No. Lesser of two evils, that's all we get to choose from nowadays. I'm not voting him to be pastor. I'd never vote for him to be a pastor. Marjorie Taylor Greene, I like her conservative views and her love of country. She claims, she says, I got a video of her showing, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. And then I got other videos where she's the foulest speaking word, foul language coming out of her mouth. She's mean-spirited. She's not a godly woman. He's not a godly man. But they're Christians. They're followers of Christ. American Christianity says you just have to believe and claim Jesus, but then you can be as foul as you want. Okay, calm down again. I'm sorry, I told myself I wasn't going to get loud. I'm sorry. I love their conservative views. I support their love of country. But not at the cost of the truth of my Lord and Savior. You will not mock Jesus Christ. Do not claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ and then live like the devil. You're mocking His death, His sacrifice. He needs to be our first and greatest love. I love Jesus Christ more than I love the United States of America. And you know I'm a patriot and I serve my country. But Jesus is first. Next slide, Levi. Click. Atheism. All right, it's everywhere. Deny God. But love the kids we deal with. They have family members that are atheists and are pushing. But internet pushes atheism. So that's a pressure to get them not to believe. Next one. Foul language everywhere. They slip up every once in a while. And why do they slip up? Because they're used to saying these words. And I remember fourth grade. I was fourth grade. And I had a vocabulary you would not believe. I didn't know what most of the words meant, but I had heard them. And I could put them all into a sentence. It wouldn't make any sense, but I'd say them all. Just to amaze kids how bad I was. Do you think I said that around my parents? Do you think I talked that way at church? Foul language, like everyone wants to cuss. And I don't understand where Christians become believers and they still want to hold on to and speak like the unbelieving world speaks. You know, one thing people say, well, there's no cuss words listed in Scripture. There's always been cuss words in every society. Let it go. We're supposed to let the old go. You know what Peter did to prove? People were saying, hey, you're one of those Jesus followers. And he denied them twice. On the third time, do you know what he did to prove? To prove to the people he was not a follower of Jesus Christ? The Bible says he cussed. Foul language is everywhere in our culture now. Everybody cusses. And it's getting our kids to be foul. Click. Pornography. So easy to see. Two or three little swipes, clicks, and I could be seeing some of the foulest stuff in the world. So easy. Next slide. Common Sense Media Survey found the average age that most kids were exposed to porn is 12 years old. 15% first saw porn when they were 10 years old. And if you don't think your kids or your grandkids are being tempted with this, then you are fooling yourself. You're fooling yourself. Trust me. Next slide. More than 50% of kids aged 10 to 12 have been exposed to inappropriate online content. And it doesn't have to be online. It can be at school. It can be with the friends. It can be billboards. It can be commercials. It can be movies nowadays, television shows. They've all been exposed. I'm really running out. Okay, next slide. Click. Suicide. I've talked to a couple students here in the last few years. I said, I've thought about it. I heard someone talking about it. I hear it in a song. Let's have a suicide party. The world's got kids so confused they don't even know their genders anymore, questioning their genders. And the world just, here's how dark it's getting, folks. Remember when you were 10 what life was like. Click. a 10-year-old committed suicide. How dark does our world have to be for a 10-year-old? Next slide. They're saying between 14 and 15 years old is the number one cause of death. This morning on Fox News, when I checked the headlines, there was a 13-year-old boy killed himself. Next slide. Last thing, we're almost out of here. Worldly distractions. Now, this is where I might step on some toes, and then again, remember my sermons are supposed to correct, rebuke, right? Worldly distractions. We tell our kids to love Jesus. We do. But we teach them that other things are more important. So the love for Jesus has to compete with the love for worldly things. Not necessarily sinful things. This can be anything that takes them out of church on Sunday or youth group on Wednesday. Potential to offend parents, I do know this. If you get offended, please come talk to me. But look at the evil influences that are all after your kids and grandkids. Look at them. And that's not even all of them. I just ran out of space. Look at all those. And let me just be honest, brutally honest. Most parents, grandparents do not teach their children the Bible at home. They are not training their kids to be disciples. They just don't. They leave that up to the church. Most parents do. Okay. It's not the way it should be, but it's the reality. They leave it up to the church. Okay, so I have an hour on Sunday to give a sermon. I have an hour on Wednesday to teach them a lesson. Wendy has your youngest ones for about an hour. She's going to be mad because it's going to be over an hour today. Do you think? How many hours influence are these? And on top of that, many youth are not here on Sundays and Wednesdays. Over 20 years of working with youth, I have seen it time and time again. I can call myself an expert in this area. Parents allowing extra activities to pull their children away from being the church and being the youth group and being instructed and trained. Church and youth group are okay unless there's something better to go do. I have over 20 years of watching teens grow up in the church and walk away from it. Because parents unknowingly, not trying to be mean, trying to look out for their kids, and kids need to be having activities. Oh, I've heard all of it. But because parents unknowingly have taught their kids it was not as important, church and youth group is not as important, Jesus and their relationship with Him, as long as you claim it, it's not as important as other things. Being a born-again believer is not separate from being the church. They are directly connected. Jesus died for sinners, and He died for the church. He died so we could be the church. And the church is supposed to be born-again believers, which means we serve in the church ministries and we attend church on the one day of the week that believers have set aside to honor God since the book of Acts chapter 2. We do not forsake the assembling together as the manner of some. The cares of this life, the worldly distractions, have always been a problem for some in the church, as in Scripture. Matthew 13. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Luke 21. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down, carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, that day come on you unexpectedly. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Be diligent to come to me quickly, Paul says, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved the present world more. 1 John, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy, seeking whom he may devour. Satan is on the move all over the world, infiltrating governments, schools, businesses, churches, families, marriage, He's after the children. We are at war for the souls of our children and grandchildren, our family members and friends. Satan and his evil forces are on the move. It's a full-scale attack coming from every direction. Next week, we're going to look at the prophetic timeline, where we are in God's timeline. Are we very near the end? Could we see the rapture and the return of Christ in our lifetime? Are we ready for the end? Or maybe are we ready for, if the rapture doesn't occur, that things are going to get a lot worse? Are we ready? Are we strong enough in our faith? Are we ready to make the good fight of faith? Are we ready to stand? Will we choose to be ready? Or will we choose to have a blind eye to this stuff, have our little heads in a cloud, and just be worried about our own lives and our own self, not worry about all this that's happening, just kind of live our lives and do what we want? That's more important than being the church, pushing back against evil, fighting for souls. Christ did not have that attitude. Christ came on mission, and he was focused. And we supposedly have him as our Lord and Savior. Why are we not as focused and dedicated to the cause as he is? He came to save that which was lost. How many of us are putting a full effort in our lives to save the lost? That's what the church is supposed to be about. Finally, and I'm done. Next slide. Right there. Leave right there. Yeah. Satan is capturing our children and grandchildren right under our noses. They are being tempted and enticed. You need to counter that in your children and grandchildren's life with the truth of Jesus Christ. Not religion. Not just telling them, hey, you need to love Jesus, read your Bible, keep the devil away. It needs to be real. Church is more than this. It's not something we attend. This is something we are. This is why I started the team concept. The enemy is real, and he's moving, and he's taking ground, and he's taking souls. What are we doing? Some of you, God bless you, you're here all the time, and I love you to death, and you're on fire, and I see good things happening in this body. But I also see apathy. I also see inconsistency. We don't ever have a full team. Not everybody's bringing their spiritual gift. Every one of you has a spiritual gift that needs to be brought into the ministry. I'm trying to lead a team with only about 10 or 20% of you bringing your gift. That means I'm playing the body of Christ here is 80% ineffective. That's not on me, folks. The staff, the deacons, we can't do it all. Do we see what Satan's doing? We're supposed to be standing against that. But we're too caught up in the cares of our lives. We're too caught up in what we want to do, and it's all, life is about us. This is real. I love you guys. That's why I'll tell you the hard truths. God says to the faithful church, I have opened the door for you, but we must step through the door. And you don't step through the door when you're sitting in a pew. I love you. I do. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just ask you to speak to us, your sweet Holy Spirit. Sometimes we need to be corrected, and there's time, Lord, you have corrected me and you rebuked me, and oh, it was so hard. Lord, help us all to humble. We all take a part in this church staggering right now, this church not being as healthy and strong as it could be. And Lord, please don't let anyone think, no, that's just fanaticism. That's just taking Christianity too far. Lord, you went to the cross. You died for us. We can't take it too seriously. It just doesn't make sense to take church too seriously, too fanatically. Your church is your body here. Your arms and your hands and your feet. And we are to be about the business that you are about. And we're supposed to be serious about it. So, Lord, I ask you just to let it sink into what it really means to be the church. Is this just something we attend, or is it something we are? It's something we breathe and live for and we support by taking part. Lord, I pray that I didn't come across too harsh or mean, and that I didn't try to be offensive. I ask, Lord, that it just be received by all of us in the way it's tended, a loving rebuke by our Heavenly Father who's trying to tell us that time is short and we need to be serious about your business. I thank you for everyone. I ask you to guide them this week. Protect them, Lord. Let us be salt and light. And I pray this over them as their pastor, Lord, but also as their fellow servant and brother in Christ. Help us to come together as a team and serve our King, our Captain. And all God's people said, amen. Why don't you guys go ahead and stand up. We'll break out of here. Sorry, my apologies for keeping you this late. I do love you guys. I want you guys to have a great rest of your day. Have a great day off tomorrow. Hopefully most of you, some of our police officers might be out on the, you guys working tomorrow? Austin? Huh? Yep. They have that. Yep. All right. So they have veterans things, not veterans things, but again, Memorial Day celebration. So you can check those out. All right, team. I love you. Hopefully I wasn't too harsh. If you're offended, please come talk to me. So let's break out of here on the count of three. One, two, three, break. Let's go.